What indeed a blessing it is to be here this morning, to see so many of you come to the Lord's house at this appointed time. I think this church was constituted about 1887. I think it's what's on the sign out there. It's been here a long time, and the Lord has been good to Union Church. You know, this week in our newspaper, they had a little poll you could respond to of when do you put up your Christmas tree? They had several choices for you to choose from, and basically it was around Halloween, after Thanksgiving, or just in time for Christmas Day, for procrastinators or whatever the case may be. But I know we see a lot of signs of Christmas. It seems like it's early and earlier each year. But my advice to you this morning and to me is let's not forget Thanksgiving. We have so much for which to be thankful. I mentioned this many times before that Brother James, there's a few downsides to preaching. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Sometimes I have a fear of saying something from the pulpit that would be contrary to the Scriptures. And maybe even perhaps blasphemous to our Lord. And I trust if that happens, that you will cast a matter of charity over those imperfections. And certainly you would take it upon yourself to call me aside and point out the error of my ways. That, because what I say in the Lord's house, I want it to be backed up by thus saith the Lord. And therefore, it'll be glorifying to our great God in the heavens and beneficial for His children while we live here upon the earth. I enjoy studying history. I enjoy reading about the saints of God and the great characters of that have lived upon the earth that overcame great adversity in life. We've had some in this church that have overcome great adversity. We've had some that experienced heartbreak along life's pathway. But I appreciate the song service this morning, and I appreciate so deeply Brother Burrell's prayer this morning. He said in his prayer, I've been a servant of the Lord for a long time. A long time is becoming a truthful statement. And I trust I've been a servant for a long time. I remember studying about the life of one of the greatest presidents in the history of this country. Led this nation through a very difficult time in the course of history. President Abraham Lincoln. Now, his grandfather, Abraham Lincoln, was killed by Indians. His mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, died at age 7 at Abraham Lincoln's. When President Lincoln was 7, his mother died of milk poisoning. She drank milk that had been contaminated by some kind of toxic plant that the cow had eaten, and it was transmitted to his mother, and she died at age 7, when he was 7 years old. In the middle of the Civil War, on October 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation establishing the fourth Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. The fourth Thursday in November. This year, it's the latest it can happen. The 28th of November is as late as it can be in the month, because November 1st is on a Friday. So we a little later having Thanksgiving this year, but I trust we'll have Thanksgiving every day. In that proclamation, That's a wonderful document. You can go back and read it. Just the way he delivered it. It uses several phrases that are encouraging to me. And some that we can apply to ourselves and the way we live. One thing he mentioned in that proclamation is that we are prone to forget the source of all our blessings. We're prone to forget the source of all our blessings. We sang this song this morning, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I mentioned this morning that Brother James might be in some downside to preaching, but one of the upsides to preaching, and I've heard this said many, many times before by different elders, I have a vantage point that you don't have this morning. I get to look at the entire congregation. I get to look at the bride of Christ this morning. Some of you have different visible outlook or perspective from where you are, depending on where you're sitting and who's sitting in front of you. But I'm standing in a lofty position this morning, and it's easy to see all of you, and it's a beautiful congregation. But he said we're prone to forget the source of all our blessings. He mentioned in that proclamation about being under the watchful providence of Almighty God. The watchful providence of Almighty God. What is providence? Providence is the involvement of God in the affairs of His children. Do you believe in providence this morning? You believe in divine providence? I do. As we sing a song in this book, sometimes the Lord has been so good to me. Yes, we faced adversity in this life, and some of you have struggled, but there's not a person in the sound of my voice that is not a blessed character this morning. The Lord has been good to us, and we need to give Him thanks and praise His holy name for what He's done for us. And I could just elaborate time and time again about the way the Lord has blessed me, and you could share similar experiences about how He's been good to you. And He's told us He will withhold no good thing from those that diligently seek Him. May we be diligent in our service to Him and seeking His holy face in what we do. He mentioned in that proclamation about our beneficent hour. I love that pronoun. Our beneficent Father, which dwelleth in the heavens. Our beneficent Father, which dwelleth in the heavens. He mentioned in that proclamation where he called upon the Almighty Hand, capital A and capital H, the Almighty Hand, to heal the wounds of this nation. You got to remember, in 1863, there was a war going on in this country where all the casualties were American soldiers. Every one of them were American soldiers, North against the South. But he called upon the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of our nation. He also mentioned in that proclamation the gracious gifts of the Most High God. The gracious gifts of the Most High God. We give thanks for what the Lord has done for us. And certainly, we need to celebrate Thanksgiving. Don't bring Christmas ahead of it. And I think Sister Debbie mentioned this morning, we need to pause tomorrow on Veterans Day too. And give thanks to those brave men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country that you and I live. You know, Scripture is, I don't know how many times the word thanks or thanksgiving is used. It's in there many times. Sometimes it's kind of a negative connotation to it. When there was an old Pharisee prayed one time, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not as other men are. But most of the time, it's talking about a spirit of acknowledging the fount of every blessing and the source of the blessings that we have in this life. You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Philippians 4, 6 says, you know, some of these newer Bibles say, be anxious for nothing. No, the King James Version says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer with supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Let's pay attention to that for just a moment. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful. Careful means to be worried, to be anxious, to be full of care. Don't worry about anything. Now, I can tell you this from personal experience. That's a lot easier said than done. That's a lot easier said than done, to be careful for nothing. But I pray the Lord would give me a greater degree of faith that I will not worry so much about the things that I can't control, things that are out of my jurisdiction, so to speak. But the things that affect us and burden us and plague us in this life. But he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. We don't have to acquaint him with our needs, dear friends. He knows our needs before we ask, and his grace is sufficient to deliver us from the trials of this life. It's easy in this world to get burdened down with worry. I can assure you, you think about the things that you have to deal with in everyday life, and sometimes it seems like our wagon gets loaded. Paul, in writing to the young brother Timothy, he in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it is, he identified the four types of prayer, the four different types of prayer. He said, I exhort you first off. First thing you need to do, young Timothy, the young preacher, is to, when something is bothering you, to pray about it. He said that supplications, that prayers, that intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. What are those four different types of prayer? Supplication are the things that we need. The things that we need. There are things that we need in this life. We pray for those things, and the Lord is well able. I think about that song we sang. I think it's been pasted in the back of our book. We used to sing here a lot of times when I was a little boy. There, I am a little scholar. I daily go to school to learn of loving Jesus, his perfect holy rule. There's one line in that song says, and when my heart is empty. Has your heart ever been empty? When my heart is empty, I go to Master's store and tell him all about it. He smiles and gives me more. Supplications. Prayers are where we say, Lord, where we acknowledge His deity and that He is an almighty God, and His ways are way above our ways, and He is a creator God. And when we acknowledge those things, that's prayers. Intercession is when we pray for those that we love. Lord, we're asking you to intercede on behalf of this dear brother, or this precious sister, or this baby, or whatever the case may be. Those are intercessions where we pray for someone else besides ourselves and giving of thanks. In Psalm 100, it tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what I'm trying to convey to you this morning is, I really believe everyone on the sound of my voice, the Lord has been good to you. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world where the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. We live in a country where there are men who are perhaps women that spend a lot of their time trying to find out ways to get something for nothing. And they will hack into your computer systems and adversely affect the school district and the different companies and businesses that these things happening to. And they'll give you an email that you respond to, and they're asking for ransom. They're asking for money to help you get rid of the problem or to restore it to where it was. But the Bible tells us the Lord will be with us in six troubles. Yea, in the seventh trouble, He'll be not far away. He's with us every step of the way. We need to acknowledge Him. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it tells us this. We've got to be careful about the preposition here. It says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. Not for everything, but in everything. It'd be impossible to give thanks for everything. But you know, regardless of the adversity we face, within that, if nothing else, we can give thanks to the Lord because we don't have to face the struggle alone. You're surrounded this morning by people who you can call on in your darkest hour. He said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is applicable to you, friends. It's concerning you. In everything, give thanks. You know, you'll find several examples in Scripture of what I'm talking about this morning. There was a time in over in Acts chapter 16, an account in Scripture I want to share with you a little bit this morning, a call to your remembrance. There was a man, two men by the name of Paul and Silas. There had been a little rift with Paul and with John Mark, in particular Barnabas. And Barnabas and John Mark had gone to one area preaching the gospel, and Paul and Silas had gone to another. And the Bible says that they were in prison. I want you to let's look at it in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. The Bible says here they had laid many stripes upon them. You ever say before where Paul talked about in Scripture where he was beaten five times, 40 lashes saved one by the Jews? You can do the math on that. 39 times 5 is 195. 195 times he'd been beaten with a whip across his back. Can you imagine how the Apostle Paul's back must have looked? But yet he said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. But he said, yeah, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He was thankful for the blessings the Lord had bestowed upon him. And can you imagine what a great blessing it was as he went down the road to Damascus? He was going there. You know why he was going? He was going there to bind and put in prison those who called upon the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and bring them back bound to Jerusalem to stand trial and probably be put to death for calling upon the name of the Lord. Now he's been beaten for the cause of Christ, and he's in prison. The magistrates told this keeper of the jail, said, don't let him escape. And he understood that allowing him to escape would cause him his life. So he put him into the inner prison. He put them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They couldn't move. But Paul and Silas were in prison, and about midnight. At midnight, they began singing praises unto the Lord. I'd love to hear that singing. There was some beautiful singing here this morning. Brother Joe mentioned taking things for granted. Oh, don't take it for granted here at this church what blessings we have. There's a lot of old Baptist churches today that are meeting that don't have just a handful of members there, just a handful of folks gathered together. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But Paul and Silas were in prison. They've been beaten many stripes, it says. I don't know how many is, but They weren't feeling real good, I can assure you. There were flesh wounds and there was blood on their back. But they were in the prison singing praises to God at midnight. And the Bible says at that time there was an earthquake. And the foundations of the prison shook. And the doors came open. And the jailer, fearing for his life, scrambled around and got a light and went there and found out the prisoners were still there. And he asked a question, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You know, I mean, this may be your experience. In reading Scripture, how many times does it happen to you where you read something and say, "Well, I read that before, but I didn't see that"? Something happened with me, Brother James, related to this that I did. I don't know. It's there. And Sister Jamie Brooke picks at me about not being able to read, but I can read a little bit. And this is right here where everybody should be able to understand it. It says, "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes." I'd read over that countless times. This old jailer, fearing for his life, if those prisoners escape, he's dead. And they said, "Don't fear, we're here. We're here. The prisoners haven't left." And he said, "Sirs," he's talking to Paul and Silas, S-I-R-S, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "To be baptized. Be baptized." But then he said, the Bible says that before he was baptized, and his household as well, that he washed their stripes. I was like, "Lord, how did I miss that, Brother Hunter? How did I miss that?" He washed their stripes. Think about the stripes that our Lord had at Calvary. Think about that for a little bit. You've had stripes before. I was, Brother JC this morning had to cut his hand badly. I'm going to say that somebody showed him a little love and attention in cleaning that. That seems like a little thing, doesn't it? But it's not. Who heals his wounds and drives away his fear. That's what this old Philippian jailer did. They drove away his fear because Paul told him, said, "We're still here. We haven't gone anywhere." And he washed their stripes and was baptized. Did Paul and Silas have an idea that night was going to end like that? I believe if we cast our cares upon the Lord, we know He cares for us. It won't always be a happy ending in every circumstance in life. But it will in the end of time, when the Lord returns, we'll all live happily ever after. The redeemed family of God will be going home to glory and we'll be with Him. I wished I could have been there after they scourged our Lord before He went to Golgotha. I wish I could have been there and washed His stripes. Yeah, the Bible says, Isaiah told us He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Another place in Scripture that this is very a good example of being thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Friends, we all have a disease that we can't get rid of. We all have a disease. It's called sin. It was imputed unto us. We're sinful by nature. We have a carnal side to our flesh that that is enmity against God, if you will. But we had, there was, as my dad used to say, that before there was ever a sinner, there was a remedy for sin in the person of Jesus Christ, who came and paid that sin debt for us, that one day, one blessed day, we'll be able to dwell with our Father through eternity in a place that's called heaven, a place that He's prepared for His children. Say, if I go away, I shall come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's a place in Scripture over in Luke chapter 17. I know it's in that chapter. Luke 17, it said our Lord was going to Jerusalem and said He must needs go through Galilee and Samaria. He entered into some other villages. He went into a certain village and He was met by 10 men that were lepers. Leprosy in Scripture is reminiscent or indicative or points towards sin. Leprosy was a terrible disease where your flesh just decayed over time. The Bible tells us that if you were a leper, your habitation was without the camp. Now, sometimes it's good to be alone. It's good to be able to be by ourselves and just try to think a little bit and to try to get some things done. But you got to study. Sometimes it's good to be alone. Sometimes it's good to be in a group if you got to study. We got a lot in our church who are in school, and we pray for you and wish you the very best and Godspeed in what you do. But I wouldn't want to be by myself all the time. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone in Genesis 2:18. But the Bible says the leprosy, the habitation was without the camp. And these 10 men, 10 lepers, the Bible says they stood afar off. By law, they had to stand afar off. And they saw this great physician walking through. They had heard the things that had been said about Jesus Christ and how He is and was the Son of God. And they said there, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And He told them, they said, you got to go show yourself to the priest. Now, the Lord was still invoking the Old Testament laws about leprosy, about showing yourself to the priest. But the Bible says as they went their way, they were cleansed. Another 10, one came back, and the Bible says that he bowed his face toward the earth. He bowed down before our Master and said, thank you. And I'm paraphrasing here, but thank you. And the Lord asked, those with Him said, weren't there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9 save this stranger who turned back to give glory to God? To every one of you under the sound of my voice this morning, other people may not be as thankful for what they have. And I remember I mentioned this several times before that there was one of Sister Blaine's classmates one time who was very disrespectful to her mother and talking back. And not right there in front of her mother, but just a few minutes later when they had the opportunity to be together, Blaine told her, said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Your mom loves you. And you're being disrespectful. And I can't even talk to my mama. Be thankful. I encourage you that sometime between now and Thanksgiving Day, and I encourage me to do the same thing. Write a letter of thanks to at least one person who has washed your stripes, who's made a difference in your life. Let's try to hand out some roses while we live upon the earth. You know, we come to these funerals and these flowers are all pretty. They are. They're beautiful. But I encourage you today to pass out some roses now. Pass out some flowers now to those that you love and that you know love you, the ones who have washed your stripes. Read God's Word. Brother Jewel, I don't know how I missed that. How did I miss that? After he had washed their stripes, he was baptized, he and all his household. What a church service in the middle of the night. Bible doesn't tell us where they were baptized. Now, some of you have been baptized right back here. Some of you have been baptized in running streams nearby here. Some of you may not have been baptized yet, Brother James. But I encourage you to take up your cross and follow our Lord in water baptism as He set the example for us in Scripture. For the rest of our time this morning, I want to go back over to the Old Testament Second Chronicles chapter 24. There are several characters mentioned in Scripture here in this chapter. It's a lot to be learned for us if we read this. And I encourage you, some of you bring your Bibles to church with you. Some of you have your Bibles on your phone. Some of you don't. That's okay. I always appreciate, I'm sure Brother James feels the same way, the kind attention that you granted to us when we come. And I trust that Brother Earl preached. It's of the Spirit of God. I want you to benefit from having been here today. We have so much to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But in this chapter, we have more than four characters. But there's four characters that to me it's just amazing. If you study the Bible, it's amazing how it's put together and how everything fits. There's a king in here by the name of Joash. J-O-A-S-H. His name means, let's see if I can get this right. I don't want to try to get out. He's confused. Wow, it's Casey right now. We have Joash. We have Jehoiada. In this passage of Scripture, we have a man by the name of Zechariah. We have a man by the name of Jehozabad. One of them means, the first one is Jehovah supports. Joash means Jehovah. Jehovah is a name that acknowledges God. Jehovah supports. Jehoiada, and I may not be pronouncing that right, but it means Jehovah knows. Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. And Jehozabad means Jehovah gives. Jehovah supports. He knows. He remembers. He gives. You know, sometimes we sing a song here about Lord, remember me. Aren't you thankful that He remembers you? He knows our needs before we ask. Let's be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. But we'll find here it's kind of hard to follow and understand a little bit about these things. But it says that Joash became king at age 7. That's the first verse of chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives and begat sons and daughters. So Joash was the king. Jehoiada was his trusted advisor, the chief priest. It says here that Joash followed the Lord, did what was right in his sight all the days of Jehoiada. Now, that was the time of a preach not long ago when I talked about foreshadowing. That's a lot to be said there. Wait a minute now. He said he followed the Lord all the days of this chief priest. Now, it's critical to ask, well, which one died first? You'll find that Jehoiada died first, this chief priest. And then Joash changed and forgot some things to his detriment, if you will. It came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Let me back up the previous verse. It said, Jehoiada took for him two wives and he begat sons and daughters. This chief priest was an advisor to this king who became king at age 7 and ruled as king for 40 years. He advised him, and we talk about a wedding coming up here soon that we're excited about. Let's be in much prayer for Lauren and Brady as they begin their life together. What a wonderful time that is to as you approach wedding day, and this, you're excited, and we're excited for you. And we look forward to being there for on that occasion. It says here that this trusted advisor, this chief priest, had gotten him, talking about Joash, two wives. And you remember in the Old Testament, that wasn't illegal to have two or more wives. But this man had helped him get his wives, and he begat sons and daughters. So I'm sure there was a great relationship between these two. But now we find that Jehoiada, the priest, died. In the next verse, it says he died at the age of 130. And I may not be in the very next verse. I may have got ahead of myself a little bit. I did, but it came into Joash's heart to rebuild the temple. And he called the Levites together, and there was a place over in the book of Exodus. I forget what chapter it is, but in the book of Exodus, it talks about a law that was given to Moses about giving to the church. If you were 20 years of age or older, you were expected to give to the church. A half shekel, I think, was what was required of you. It was a requirement that you give. And my encouragement to you is, if you're over 20 and still in college, maybe it's difficult to give to the church. We understand that. I've been a broke college kid before myself. I know all about that. But if you have a job, you ought to give to the church. You ought to give. And then union is a place where people give freely. But to carry on the church, but there'd been a time for repairs to be made. And he called the Levites together and told them to go out and remind them about this law of Moses, where they were expected to give for the benefit of the church. And it didn't happen right away, but then they said they went and they built a chest. They built a chest and put it outside the gate, without the gate of the temple, just outside the gate. And the Bible says that there was an abundance of money that came in. They went and emptied it and carried it back. And they had so much money they were able to repair the church, to restore it to its strength, it says in Scripture. And even they had an opportunity to buy. They had so much money left over, they bought vessels of gold and silver, I think it said, to carry out the different services that they carried out at the temple. It's amazing to me what I've seen it time and time again among our people, the old Baptist and other churches as well. When a group of people come together with a common idea, what can happen? We have faith in the Lord. Just launch out trusting on Him. I remember hearing these stories about men older than me who were very involved in building the church. And we ought to have a nice place, nice as we can build it for the Lord, and to keep it that we'll have this refuge to come out. It's important that we come out here on Sunday morning. It's important that we come out here on Wednesday night to praise His name. Friends, the Lord's been good to us. And they built this house back and had money extra, and they bought these gold vessels of gold. And then something happened that is going to happen to us in life. Sometimes our spiritual advisors on earth pass away. They pass away. And then we got an option. Are we going to continue in the ways that they taught us? Or are we going to regress? Are we going to walk in a path contrary to where we were? This we find in Scripture here that in verse 15 it says, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house." I don't have to tell you, we've had some before that. And I mentioned this years ago when Brother Melvin passed away and he got ill. I had this terrible thought. A terrible thought, Brother Doug, that if Brother Melvin passes away, we're in trouble. We'll probably close the doors of the church. Oh, as much as I love Brother J.M. Myers, aren't you thankful he wasn't that important? That the church continues on. I trust that we will put into our everyday life the things that we've been taught here at this church by godly men and the godly sisters, those mothers in Israel who have come here and worshiped and taught us how to live upon the earth. But when this old chief priest died, it says, "After the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them." What does that mean? I tell you this morning that when the earthquake happened in the prison, and the prison guard feared for his life, he came to them, and I think he said he bowed down. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" When that Samaritan leper was cleansed, he turned back, and the Bible says, with his face toward the earth, he fell at his feet, talking about Jesus Christ, the one that healed him from that leprosy. He showed the common respect and reverence for our Lord. But now we have a situation where these men are coming and bowing down to the king. Obeisance means to bow, or courtesy, or to bow down at the feet of. And sometimes we get caught up in these things where arrogance or the Bible says that we ought not think of ourselves more than we ought. We've really got to understand that we're sinners saved by the grace of God, and we need to be thankful for what the Lord has done for us all the days of our life. It says, "And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent them prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear." See what they're doing here? The Lord understood that they had hearkened unto these princes that came and bowed down at the feet of Joash the king, and they began to serve groves and idols and to honor Baal with their life. And the Bible says, "But the Lord sent them prophets, and they preached unto them, but they would not listen. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, 'Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you.'" You mean the Lord can't forsake us? Yeah, it says here he can, if we forsake him. Otherwise, it says in the book of Hebrews, it says he will never leave us nor forsake us. As long as we're striving. You know, I've heard a deacon tell me one time that, you know, if you walk contrary to what the Lord would have you to do, he may suffer it to become that you would be turned over to a reprobate mind, that the things of God would not be important to you anymore. But this priest's son, Zechariah, came as a prophet and told him, living like this, you cannot prosper because ye have forsaken the Lord. And I can tell everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, young or old, and that's the kind of a relevant term, I understand. But if you forsake God, you cannot prosper. You cannot and you will not prosper. You can only prosper if you acknowledge Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and try in your way, in a sense, to bow down and show obeisance to Him, to the King who is the author and finisher of our faith, the founder of every blessing, the one that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from. The son of the chief priest came and prophesied, said, turn back to the things of God, or you cannot prosper. And how did Joash respond to that? He had him stoned to death. This man, this Zechariah's daddy had been a blessing to him. His wives were dear because of guidance that the Lord has allowed him to help him find his two wives. And then he begat sons and daughters. And one of those sons, one of Jehoiada's sons, Zechariah, spoke out against the way they were living and tell them they were wrong in what they were doing. And the Bible says that they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and require it." This boy, as he was dying, his daddy had been good to this man. And now this man was having him put to death. I tell you before, there's been many times in my life where I've received a great blessing because somebody found out I was Brother Wayne or Sister Sharon Myers' son. It's like I got an advantage in life. I've been told many times, "Oh, you're Wayne's boy." Well, that's helped me out many times. It's made it a challenge because it's a high standard to meet. The way my daddy lived and the way he interacted with people and the way he served the Lord, Brother Burrow, for a long time. But a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. But this king had this former friend who had died, had his son killed. And the Bible says that there's times in Scripture where there was a forgiving sense at the death of someone. You remember righteous Stephen when he was dying, he looked into heaven, he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the throne. And he said, "Father, forgive them." No, he said, as he fell asleep, he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, all the ones had done so many cruel and vile and wicked things to him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When Zechariah died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and required. Hold them accountable for what they've done." And I can relate to that. I can relate. But so it came to pass at the end of that year, but there was a host that came up from Syria. And they said they were small in number. But the Lord suffered to allow a multitude to be given into their hands. Look what it says in verse 24. "For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash." Then you'll find that Joash is this king's servants conspired against him. They said, this man was once a good leader. He said he became king when he was seven. He was king for 40 years. And it said during that time, up until the death of Jehoiada as chief priest, that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But when Jehoiada, his advisor, left, sometimes our advisors leave from the church. They leave by death upon the earth. There's not a lot of the older members of this church and union that were the grown-ups when I was a kid that showed us the way. And we don't need to deviate from the things that they taught us and the truths that have been so precious here at Union Church and been taught and conveyed to the ones who've had the wonderful privilege to worship here. But they came to him, and David, this king. The Bible says that they to avenge the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, they slew him upon his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. They that conspired against him, Zabad and Jehozabad, Now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of Kings. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. I encourage you to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 24. There's a lot to be gained from reading this, dear friends. When our ways please the Lord, we will gain greater benefit. When we walk contrary, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Let's walk in obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you got something out of this morning that would be a benefit to you and glorifying to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But above all things, be thankful this Thanksgiving season. I'm talking to me as well as I am to you. I mentioned Blaine the other day. She hydroplaned. Lost control of the car, spun around in the road several times, went off into the median over on Highway 84. She's going to USM on a Saturday to work on national board certification. The car went off into the median. She was able to back out into the other lane, the westbound lane on 84. I don't have to tell you. She called me. But I was thankful she was able to call me. It could have turned out differently. Let's be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. If I don't receive another blessing in my life, I still receive way more than I deserve. As far as the blessings of the Lord and the good things that He has done for me. Oh, I trust you'll go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And we need to read it closely, because it bothered me that I had overlooked, after he had washed their stripes, he was baptized. He said, Paul and Silas, let me try to help with these wounds on your back. And then he was baptized. I trust that we will be baptized after we realize that the stripes of our Lord were given for us, as I mentioned from Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning.